Good morning.
Good morning.
Why did you say I think
Can you hear
so?
me well?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Why did you say I think
Okay,
so? Like you're
because
either ready or you're not.
yes, you're right. I'm ready. I didn't know if the computer was ready.
Oh, you're gonna ride that one off into the sunset, aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
My dear daughter, you can't get her to put anything, she opens something up, she leaves the garbage lying where she dropped it. She leaves cups all over the place. But when it comes to the computer, which I would prefer to be left on for the full weekend at least, after she's done using it, she's very, very good about turning it back off, which is unexpected. I didn't know she used it this morning. So I came to a turned off computer instead of one that was ready to go.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's kind of her. She's looking
Yeah,
out for you.
she was. How were you today?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, how's your weekend been?
It's been good. We went to eat at a restaurant yesterday that was really good. It was like a bar.
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff with like Indian bread, which is unusual.
How was your Indian taco?
It was really good.
It
And their
sounded delicious, the
three
description.
meat chili cheese was really good too. And we had queso, and that was really pretty good. The last 2 weekends we've tried like new places, which is kind of neat.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was curious, are you still going to your LCS or that new LCS?
Well, I like to make my life as complicated as possible. So
You're going to both?
I'm going to both and getting most of my comics from DCBS. So
Yeah, so you're going to three places.
on Wednesdays I go to the old place.
Yeah.
On
And what do you get
Thursdays,
there? Just your X-Men books or
I
what?
get yeah, pretty much. I get a few comics that just I kept with them and have never been canceled, like Ninja Turtles and Saga just came back, so Saga's the other one. And then all of the X-Men titles, plus a handful of other random Marvel ones. Like I still get Daredevil and Fantastic Four there, but that's pretty much it. And then at the new place, it all depends on what they it, if they start like promoting something like heavily, and it's something that I decide to get because they keep promoting it, then I'll usually go to them. That's what happened with Department of Truth. Like they're hyping it so much, I'm like, I feel like a jerk, like to go to like DCBS or Queen City because I would have never bought this book. So that's my the first pull that I got from there. They just
So
started getting stuff.
when you select something, you don't like look at like the image section and say, "Oh, that's Tinian. I think I'm gonna get it."
I don't know why, but I mean, I always look at that stuff, but for whatever reason, I wasn't going to get it. And then they kept on, and I can't remember now why, because I absolutely love that comic, but they just kept, talking about it, talking about it. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll get it. So yeah, there's been a few like that. So I probably get, I all my Spawn comics I get from Pulp 7162, the new place.
Yeah, I get them all at the LCS too, all my Spawn now. I used to have duplicates. But
Yeah.
now I'm just going to my LCS and grabbing everything. But I mean, in terms of Spawn, it's so frequent though. It's like every week there's one
Every
or
week
two
there's something new.
books, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes my
He's
old
always been
LCS, what'd you say?
I just said he's always been good about like release schedules of the image guys.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, what I was gonna say is that sometimes with the my old LCS, the person that they have pulling it sometimes isn't the best. But like, a lot of times they just grab any random cover and just
Yeah.
stick it in there.
Oh, they don't pay
And
attention to cut. You want cover A, don't you?
well, that's the thing. Unless I specify otherwise, you should be giving me cover A, right? So that kept happening with Spawn. And then when Todd McFarlane, started opening up the universe with those other books, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just gonna go to Pulp because I can actually say to them, like, I want this cover.
Yeah.
And because like
Can you pick your cover, or do you just say I want cover A just to be
I pretty o
consistent?
almost always just cover A. The only exception, the one big exception,
Spawn.
nope, Department of Truth. I but specifically cover Bs. The cover Bs are almost always that Lady in Red. Different
Yeah.
artists doing the Lady in Red. So I just have a whole collection of those covers instead of the number of the A covers.
Yeah. If
I
I
just
was
thought
going, I'm still
that
getting all the covers for, like, I quit all variants except for Spawn and Savage Dragon.
was
But everything else, I'm only doing one cover. And it's hard because some of those Joker covers are just gorgeous. Like, they're just
Yeah.
awesome looking.
Yes,
But
they are.
I decided just to, in order to weed some stuff out, I'll just keep my Spawns and my. But if I was gonna do Spawn proper, I would do B, because
You would?
that's the McFarlane cover.
Yeah.
So I go out of my way just to buy McFarlane covers. Like Hell Cop, I got cover C because it was Portacio inked by McFarlane.
Yeah.
So it's like, for stuff like that, I'll just and I, same with Firepower, I have the Liefeld and the McFarlane, and
Yeah, it's funny you said Hellcop because that's another one of the exception ones. I get whatever one is that those magazine parody covers.
yeah,
Like, I don't know if you
like the
noticed them,
play,
but
yeah, the
the
Playboy
Play Demon.
one and the
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
And then I can't remember, they're gonna have another one, and then next one that's not Play Demon, it's something else. It's like almost like a Cosmopolitan or something like that.
Yeah, it's a
That's the
magazine
cover.
look, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of the number
For
or
me,
the date.
I just look at cover A, like typically, because I want to keep cover A. Th
Yeah.
those magazine ones are nice. Like if I was
They're
getting
cool. They're just
multiple,
a
I
little
got the
different.
Playboy one just because. I do like the Hell Cop though.
Yeah, I
That's a
was
great comic
surprised.
book.
I got that just spur of the moment when we were at the store to me and Stacey went to the store, and I'm like, you know what, I'll pick this up. And I'm like, wow, this first issue is really good. Now this is the
Yeah.
second series. I don't know if it's the same as the first or if it's a
Well, it's a
totally
different creative team, so I don't know
Oh,
how that works, but
okay.
I was curious what you're doing with all these new X-Men books that are relaunching.
I just keep getting them.
Oh, really? So you're gonna like get X-Men Red and
Yeah, I try out everything, and so far I hadn't dropped anything for X-Men
okay.
before,
Yeah, I
but
decided I
let
wasn't.
go.
But it, 'cause it looked like Legion of X was Way of X. It looked like
Yes.
X-Men Red was something else. All the books that they're canceling, but I'm sticking with like X-Force 'cause it's still going on. And they rebooted Marauders and I jumped off because
I'm gonna
the
get it,
creative
Mike,
team
but
cheat
yes. Yeah.
And they changed the team though. Like the lineup is still got Kitty Pryde and there's Bishop
Bishop,
still,
yeah.
but everybody else like is from the other books.
I just read the last issue of the previous run. I actually was just yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
And they were it was a real finale. They were saying, okay, Iceman's going to do this, and like who was one of the other ones, I can't remember, but obviously Storm
Storm
was
was
helping
in
a while,
there.
but now she's
She's
on
going to
Mars.
X-Men Red now,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then I can't remember, somebody else was taking a Pyro, maybe was doing something else. So they're fighting, and Kitty's like, Bishop, are you quitting too? He's like, no, I'm having too much fun. And I mean, I'm gonna buy it, but Steve Orlando is very, very hit or miss for me.
Yeah,
I would
same
say
here, same
probably
here.
70% miss and 30%
He's
hit. Like,
about
what?
50 for me, 'cause I really liked his Batman Shadow. Like that was good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Martian Manhunter was pretty
I
solid.
liked Marsh that yeah, I was gonna say Martian Manhunter I really enjoyed. But there's some other ones that are just like I just can't get into. So I feel the same.
Yeah.
But I think for me it's like 50. I did jump off Marauders and I saw they had the Marauders Annual by him today, I mean, at the
Yes,
LCS
I
this
haven't
week,
read it yet. Yeah.
and I decided to not get it.
I'll let you know if it's
Mostly because
how
of
it
the
hits for
team,
me.
like Dakin is on there now, and like,
Yeah.
yeah, it's weird how they ended like all the series, like Hellions, and they just vanished, kind of
And
thing.
Excalibur is going to be Knights of X, and I got to tell you, Excalibur is probably one of my least favorite of the books that were was going on at the time. So
Yeah.
we'll see how Knights of X is.
Yeah, I was looking at all the different offerings in Marvel previews, and I'm definitely getting the new Cap, and I'm getting Amazing Spider-Man, of course.
Yeah, me too.
I'm happy about that actually, 'cause I'm a JRJR fan, so
I'm not, but I'm happy that it's kind of
changing.
one of their soft reboots
Yeah,
because, yeah,
it sounds
I
like
don't like that.
it's gonna. I mean, I was looking at the covered issue too, and it looks like Mary Jane and him are breaking it off, which is interesting because I'm reading the 1999 series, and they're on the cusp of breaking it off.
I feel like that whole Nick Spencer run, like he kept on going on and on with the whole who the hell was that Harry Osborn character? I can't remember what he was called. It was
Oh, that
that new
centipede character.
yeah, I can't, but anyhow, it kept on hinting, like it, at least as far as I was concerned, I thought it was very strongly hinting that it was going to undo that Brand New Day thing with the Mephisto. And then it just didn't. It just didn't do. I mean, not that it didn't do anything. It addressed the whole, like, Gwen Stacy and Norman Osborn kind of weird stuff that, you know.
I liked his run, but it meandered.
It, yes,
It
that's exactly,
meandered way too much. Like,
And I really thought
you
he was
could
going
take
to.
like the meat of his book, and like he had a long run, and you can take it down to 25 issues, and
Yeah.
I don't know why he meandered so much. I hope
He
this ne
did. You're right.
I hope Zub goes at just a slightly faster pace, you know, just.
Agree. I agree.
I would
And I mean
love a
that whole end is.
Spider-Man old school type
Yes.
storytelling, you know. Give
Well,
me
see,
like
that's the thing,
four
is that
plot
it's hard to
threads.
compare that.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that. I don't. I guess the writer. I don't know if they're dictated to write like that because Marvel, like, okay, do 6 issues and then we're trading it. You know, 6 issues and then we're trading it. But I'd prefer if they just made it. And whatever, when somebody gets a trade, if they want to see the other threads wind up, then they can go buy the next trade. So.
If nothing else, I mean, I guess we're both old comic book readers, so maybe this isn't true, but it feels like to me, like if you did that and you enjoyed the story and you had a lot of those things that you're talking about where there's subplots that were left unresolved by the time you got done reading the trade, wouldn't that be more incentive for you to go and buy the next one?
Yes, because then you have like, oh, I have reason to want to know what's happening.
Right, this isn't a done
I like
story.
the
There's
yeah, I
something
like
else.
the soap opera niche of stories.
But again, I mean, we've been reading for a long time, so I don't know if like people nowadays that are just starting, if that's not appealing to me. I don't know, but it doesn't make sense to me that they don't do that because it seems like you end things. I mean, I'm not saying it's a total cliffhanger, but there are things in the background going on that wouldn't be resolved in by the end of 6 issues. So I don't know. It makes sense to me to write that way. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm just being an old fart because I was thinking about this recently, like how like the style of that writing and stuff, especially when I was reading that the Cap stuff prior to when Kirby came back, and it was just like that with all these subplots going on and stuff. I'm like, nothing is close to that dense in comic books now. It's like just very, very straightforward story for the most part.
And you'd think like a lot of them would a lot of the writers today would have loved that stuff and try to keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where that magic left, but I miss it.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. So yeah, I was gonna hold off on Knights of X. But I am getting the giant size Thunderbird.
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't
And
know if you
the
read that issue yet, where he actually, where he comes back,
comes
but
back, yeah.
yeah.
In X-Men 92, I'm gonna get that because I like the 90s quite a bit.
And that's the only one that I'm not getting.
Yeah, I figured.
Isn't that the cartoon one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. But
Well, I don't know if this
yeah.
one's the night the cartoon. Yeah, well, it might be.
I thought that's when the cartoon started, was 92. I thought that's why they
Yeah, I
called it
can't
that.
believe you didn't watch that. That was like an awesome cartoon. You would have loved it. I don't know if
I
you'd
was
love
too
it
cool. I
now,
was too
but you...
cool then. I was 20 years old.
I
You know,
was
college
older than
student. I'm not watching
that.
no
And
goddamn.
I would
Well,
watch
I
the
know, but
X-Men.
I thought I still had to be a
You were in college
person.
in... Oh yeah, you were in college in that year.
Yeah.
Damn,
Now
I'm
I watch
old.
cartoons all the time.
Yeah, I was watching Cowboy Bebop.
I saw that. I've never seen that one. How was it?
Well, I liked the live action way more, but I
Oh,
wanted to
really?
see what the original one was like, you know? So I started watching the animated. I'm gonna finish the animated because there's only 10 episodes of the original, but I think you'd like it. Like it's
Which one, the animated or the live?
The live action. I
Okay,
would go to the live action first.
All right, I'll
If
check it out.
especially if you haven't been exposed to it.
Yeah, no.
But just watch the first one. If you watch, it's very like crime noir space, like because they're like bounty hunters, they go after, you know. But it's
Yeah.
got like a campiness to it, and the visual effects are amazing, like the backgrounds and stuff. And they try to film some of it like anime, like you know how they like focus on hands a lot and walking and
Yeah.
just movement. They do that a lot in this too, but it's action packed. They're like bounty hunters, but they're good at what they do, but they always seem to get there too late. Like they just seem they're a buck short on all the instances. So they like sort of live in poverty. But it's if you watch the first one, you'll know right away, 'cause it's just
I'll check it out
they
for
have
sure.
like really campy
It
villains. It's interesting, but
sounds fun though.
yeah, it is. It's way better than I thought it would be.
Well, that's cool.
It
I've
has like
we've
a it's like crime noir and I'm trying to think of like what I would think it is, like what how I can map it. Sci-fi crime noir with a campiness of like Austin Powers because like their villains are like over the top. You know,
Oh.
like the villains are just insane.
That's quite a combination of
Yeah, it
tone.
is, but I
That's
like it quite a bit. It's pretty neat.
cool.
But
We just started
I
watching
thought
Peacemaker finally.
Oh yeah, that one's like enduring. It's like addictive, I think,
Yeah, we
because
only watched two so far, but I'll watch another one
he's
tonight.
the more you watch, the more you get attached to his character. Yeah. And that vigilante is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, he was in the second one. That was Stacy's so-so on the actual show. She's like, you can,
Yeah.
I'll be in the
I can
film.
see that because if you're not If you're a James Gunn fan, you know he kind of does stuff a little wacky, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he loves to do characters that he can get away with murder. In other words, like nobody knows Peacemaker, and then like
Exactly.
Groot and Rocket Raccoon, like he could do
Exactly.
whatever the hell he wants, you know? Star
Exactly.
Lord. So it's like give me the Suicide Squad because nobody gives a shit about these characters and I can kill them and do
Right.
whatever I want and
She said, you know, she can take it or leave it. If she's in the room at the time, she'll glance up. but she doesn't have to. I don't have to wait for her. But then she said, but I could watch the intro all day long.
Oh yeah, the intro, God.
The
Like I always get that option, skip intro, and I'm like, never, never want to
I know.
skip
Yeah,
it.
she's like, I'll I
I
could
don't know
watch this
what
all day.
it's like, super highly addictive, and that song just stays in your head, like,
It does.
and I like the glam rock of it, like
Yeah.
it's insane.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, another HBO Max that I'd highly recommend is Nobody. That's awesome.
I heard it was really good. And
Oh
I
my
love him. I
God.
love Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, he's just phenomenal in this. Like I didn't know much going in other than people were saying it's violent and he's like a John Wick character, but oh man, he's good. Like
Yeah.
it's so much more than that, I think. It's like I loved it.
And he's another one where it's funny because you never would picture him in that type of a role because he's
Yeah.
always been like the comedy guy and stuff. But yeah, he was getting like rave reviews for his role in that and stuff. So
Yeah,
yeah.
you guys will both like it. It is violent, like hyper violent.
Oh, really?
So
Yeah.
it's like you don't want the kids around to see it.
Yeah, well, they came downstairs yesterday and Peacemaker was on. I had to immediately pause it.
Oh yeah, 'cause you never know what you're gonna get there.
No.
Yeah. You never know if you're gonna get like over the top sexualism or if it's gonna be like gory.
Or they're like just like vulgar swearing or
Oh
something. I have no idea
yeah.
what it's gonna be. But
Yeah, it's
that's
cool stuff.
yeah.
You know, a lot of people have been talking about gimmicks. You know, like comic gimmicks. I was curious, like, are some of your favorite gimmicks?
Like, what do you
Like,
mean?
well, like one of my, I'll give you an example of one of my favorite gimmicks of the 90s. Well, two of them. I loved to send away for those half issue Wizard, you know, exclusives. That was
Yeah.
like a gimmick to get you into like Max and whatever. You can get the like 0.5 issue. And then, like, another example is like the Chromium cover. Like, no one's done it like Valiant. Like,
No.
even when Valiant retried to do them, they looked dark. Like, they were ugly. But when they did them originally, like with XO and Bloodshot and Ninja,
Ninjak.
oh my
Yeah.
God,
Beautiful.
they were like awesome. So those are
Yeah,
two
I
of
was
like
gonna say,
my
definitely those
favorite. Like the
foil type
Chromium
covers.
was amazing.
Yeah, I love, I don't know if you remember, but or if you were buying it at the time, but the first volume of Avengers towards the end there was like
The
quite a few
embossed.
of these like foil covers.
Yeah, they're embossed. They're where
Yeah,
the
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
visions is, or Human Torch were like 3D out of the cover on the foil.
That was one of them, but the other one, it was like, hang on, I'm gonna look it up. See if I can find them. But I always used to love those. Hang on. I know there
Well, I know
was.
they had a Vision one, and I know
They
they
de
did a Human
they
Torch one, but I
def
don't
yeah.
know if
Oh,
we're
that
talking the
Human
same
Torch one
thing.
was beautiful.
They're all
The
red.
Oh my God. And then the second print or something was like all white or something like
Yeah,
that for the
yeah. I
Human
got
Torch one.
both of
So did I.
them.
Here we go. Sculpted foil cover. There was one Avengers 369. This isn't one of the ones that I was thinking of, but it's similar
Yeah,
to
I'm
one of.
going to the
Oh, there
database.
you go. The embossed cover. Yep. For the Vision one. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're right. Yep. That type of stuff.
369. Well, they
And
had a
then
Scarlet
one
Witch one
cover
too,
earlier.
I think.
The v Vision one was 360.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
And 369, yeah, I remember this one.
but like now probably I don't know why, but I am such a sucker for homage covers.
Oh God.
Like, Are you buying He Who Fights Monsters?
Which one?
He Who Fights Monster? He Who Fights with Monsters.
Oh, the homage from Ablaze.
Yeah, that's
Yeah,
those are the only ones I
they
buy.
do like things for Conan, and they do it
Yeah.
for the old Fantastic Four
It, the He
covers
Who
and.
Fights with Monsters has a Fantastic Four homage every single, all five issues. And
Yeah.
so for number one, I bought cover A and the homage. And then after that, I just
Yeah.
bought all the homage covers. And that was it. That's the cover that I just bought. Like, I didn't even buy the A cover.
Well, I was just looking at covers, and I'm trying to get off the variants, but there was you know that I really like this the comic book Captain America Iron Man. Like that story is just like engrossing to me. It's really good. And number three had the homage to Captain America 100,
Oh
and
yes, I
I,
think I saw that.
oh God, I didn't, I held off buying it, but man, I kept looking at it like, God, I just love this cover.
So that's a big one for me. And then the other one is similar, but I love the ones that are either that are set up as if they're movie posters,
Oh
or if they're just
yeah.
straight up
Like
like
Stray
homages to
Dogs.
movie, like horror movie
Horror
posters. Like
movies,
Shadow
yeah.
Man's been doing that. Stray
Stray
Dogs. I got
Dogs.
all the Stray Dog horror variants
Yeah.
because that's just my. I'm trying to cut back to, as we talked about before. That's why I bought like the He Who Fights with Monsters. I only bought the that one cover because
But
I'm like
but
I'm
like
just
even
don't want to
you
get.
just talked about the cover B for Department. It's like a theme. Like you're buying cover Bs for that. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, well, I get all the
So
variants for
yeah,
Spawn.
those are the things that hit me the right way these days for whatever reason. Like
Yeah.
I go all out for those.
Well, I like the polybag ones too. When they had cards in them. And like the X-Force when it first came out.
You had to have every
I'm
single
not a
one.
big fan of the connecting cover one. I don't
I
care for
used to be,
that
but
one.
I'm not anymore.
I
I
love
that
when they
doesn't do
like
anything
do
for me
like
now.
cutaway, what a die cut. They do die cut, and then my favorite one though is like the bullet hole in the protector. It
Yes.
went all the way through the book.
Which one was
The protectors.
this? Oh, it went all the way through the book?
Yeah,
Oh my
it
God.
was the awesome. It was the death of a character, and there was a bullet hole in the cover.
Awesome.
And yeah, there's been a lot of crazy stuff like Death of Superman. That came with like a headband, if I remember correctly, like a black
I think you're right. I never
ribbon.
opened it up.
I bought multiple copies, so I have one bagged and one unbagged. But I always kept, if I opened up a bag, I always keep the bag. Like I'll open it real carefully from the top, and then I'll put the bag in the back of the comic.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Yeah, so I don't like throw away the
Yeah,
bags.
I would fold the bag carefully in half and then stick it behind the backing board.
Yeah, those are some cool gimmicks. And then I don't know if you sent away for the coupons and stuff, but I did a lot of that.
I didn't do a ton. I mean, I did like the image ones.
Yeah.
I mean, back,
You didn't do the
all those years.
Valiants?
I was too late on the
No, but
Valiant one.
even Valiant did it fairly recently, I think, for one of their books. It was like Renegade, was it Harbinger? It was one of the books you had to like mail away for.
Yeah, I did it. I don't remember what it was. I did do it though.
Yeah.
Because I was, I wouldn't have been happy not having it in my collection.
That is a great marketing thing though, because you almost feel like I gotta buy one. Well, if I want multiple copies of this variant, I gotta buy multiple. But not only that, if you want to keep one with the coupon intact,
Exactly.
you'll buy one with the coupon.
Oh yeah.
The one gimmick that I hated, well, I hate from a collector's standpoint, but I don't care. It doesn't bother me to read it. Is the flip book.
Oh yeah.
I hate
Yeah,
it. I
you
hate it
talk
because
about that. I know.
I'll buy the damn thing and then I'll think I'm missing it and I'm not.
Well, I don't know if you did this, but I would buy two copies.
Well, I do it now because, well, I did it by accident a couple times. Like I'd go and I'd be on Comic Base and I'd go look it through it and I'd say, "Oh, why am I missing it here? Like why is that issue missing?" And I didn't pay attention to the comment. Sometimes in the note it'll say flip book with blah blah blah. But
Yeah.
I would say I put it on my cart and then I'd get it from my comic shop and then I was flipping it over like as I have this.
Yep. No, like at the store, like when those would come, like didn't the Eternal Warrior have one with some, I can't remember. Okay. So I would like right at the store buy two, and like even the person checking me out would be like, you got two of these. I'm like, yeah.
But I'm gonna file one with Time
Like I have
Walker
to
and
have
one with
two.
Eternal.
Yep. I like with I because it's like
'Cause it's like your
I
ADD kicks. I mean, your OCD kicks in. Like you're filing through your books, and you're like, "Where's that issue?"
exactly.
Yeah.
I get angry with myself
And
and like, oh well, what can you do?
then there were the glow in the dark covers.
Oh yeah, those are always good, like the
Yeah.
Spectre and Ghost
Spect
Rider.
did you buy Spectre back in the
Oh
day?
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was one
Great
of my
gear.
favorite glow in the darks. That was my favorite, even more so
Yeah.
than the Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean that whole series was just an amazing series, so.
Yeah, I don't that was the best I think that Spectre ever had.
I would agree. Yeah.
Tom Mandrake on art, that was great. John Ostrander, so
Good
good.
stuff. Yeah, very good stuff.
All right, so what did you bring to this party
What am I?
today?
Let's see. I read Power Man and Iron Fist 103 and 104.
103 and 104. I love
Yeah.
that series.
Yeah, this is a couple of years before the end of the run.
Do you
But
have a full run now?
no, not even close. Not even close. I'm missing a ton.
But I
Anytime
guessed right. I had posted a lot of like Bronze Age
I
first appearances, and you said 1 out of 4, and I was like, I bet he has Iron Fist.
guys are really good
Well,
at
you're the
guessing.
easiest to guess because I think of everyone, I think I know your taste. Like, I know you were a Marvel kid, and I know
Yeah.
that you're X-Men oriented, and you're very focused on completing certain runs, and so I kind of know your habits.
Yeah. It's been rare that I don't know that you've ever
Kirk,
got one
Kirk, Kirk.
wrong. Joe's very good at guessing me now,
Yeah,
too.
Kirk is pretty easy. He pretty much has everything through the 90s, I think. And then when
At
it
least he
gets,
thinks so.
yeah, well, at least he thinks so. He drives me nuts because he doesn't have anything like to say he does. But I know he does. I trust his mind. But I really want to go see at some point, fly down there and go see this thing
Oh yeah.
because I think he has. I think he has more than I do, but it's hard to tell. I can't tell if he's a full run guy or if he's just like, I got every single number one that's ever come out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know War Comics are his specialty. Like if he has it, it's probably a War comic. And I know one thing is he seems very sporadic with his picks nowadays. Like he can't spend like he used to spend.
Right.
So I think it's very sporadic. Like I think he tries stuff and then switches it and then tries stuff. So I can't, if you go to the 2000s, I couldn't guess. Like 2010 to now, I couldn't guess what Kirk has. I would have no idea. But if you go back to like the Eclipse and Cameco and all those different, like if you mention it, he probably has it. Or if it was a
It's a
send, if it was a send away, he probably has it.
yeah, it's amazing the like the obscure, more obscure stuff that he has.
Yeah, he's the guy to go to for like ex obscure stuff, like if you want to go obscure.
You know what? It would drive me nuts though to have a collection like his
Oh
and not be.
God.
I don't know.
It
I wouldn't be
it
able
would drive
to
me
do that.
nuts, but God, it would be a treasure trove to like help him sort.
Yeah,
Like
catalog and stuff.
I would freaking love that because
Yeah.
it's like opening up a surprise box and not knowing what's in there.
Totally. We got to take a vacation one of these times down to Georgia.
Yeah. Go see
M
go
maybe
go.
in late fall when it's not 105
But
degrees.
it's not just comics. It's he's got
Oh,
quite the toys and pop culture shit, you know, that's just
yeah.
and he's way more into art than me and you.
Well, and
Like
he, I, it sounded like he was always like into that stuff too. So like, he's got a long history, it seems.
I enjoyed collecting art. I did when it was affordable, and then I just got too. They outpriced me, and then they gave me anxiety for commissions, and I stopped doing it because I've had bad experiences. So I only get commissions like from like the same sources that I know I'm gonna get it when I want it. So.
And that makes sense.
So
I
my
got in
collection was
way,
all
way, way
over
too
though.
late.
Yeah.
Way too
I
late.
remember going to cons though and spending $40 to $60 a commission. And now you want to get a commission, it's like 100 for a
Oh, at
full
least, yeah.
figure. And I'm
Yeah.
not one of those guys that wants like just a head.
No.
Like I didn't even want like the original busts like that, you know, Randy Bowen would put out the Marvel busts. I
Yeah.
didn't start collecting until Luke Cage and Doctor Strange came out, where they were from the waist up, because
Yeah.
they used to just be the shoulders in the shape of a V and a head, and I didn't like them. And then once Doctor Strange came out in Luke Cage, I was like, oh my God, I have these statues because they were from the entire waist up.
Yeah, and that's another one I regret not being into when they were actually out.
I regret too because I got in way late and it was like real expensive to. I mean, there's a couple of things I would want. I'd want like a full Defenders, like, because that's my team. And then the Champions. I like the obscure teams. So, like, I would like to assemble, you know, the Inhumans and the Eternals. That's like my Marvel shit. Like I love the Eternals right now. I'm even reading an Infinite comic, which I didn't think I would get into, but with Neil Gaiman and John Romita Jr. writing it, I really like it.
Oh, that's good.
Cause the Eternals is cool. Cause Icarus is the only one like the way they're writing it. He's you know how they get reincarnated and stuff, and they sort of don't know their past and they have to relearn their purpose.
Yeah.
So he's the only one that seems to know what's going on and everybody else thinks he's crazy. So it's such a good story. Like and then the deviants are up to no good, so they're trying to capture Icarus before he can assemble his team. So it's really cool and the whole idea of Celestials. So like Neil Gaiman writing it, I really dig it. And then I know a lot of people don't like JRJR, but I love his art. So I'm like, and then he's inked by Danny Mickey, who's one of those 90 guys. And I think it makes his art look way better. So I'm enjoying those Infinite. They're weird though, like especially on the iPad. I think
Yeah.
they're made for phones.
Oh,
But
really?
so on the iPad you have like these big old white spaces between as you're scrolling up. You can only scroll up and scroll down, but you have like these big gaps of nothingness between panels. It's really bizarre.
That is strange. I haven't. I keep thinking of resubscribing to
You
Club Unlimited, but
should, 'cause it is way better than the DC app. I'll be honest with you.
yeah.
In terms of content, like
Didn't it
literally.
switch formats just recently? Didn't people have trouble when it switched? Like people lost. Did you lose any, like
I
your
did
lists or?
I did lose my, you know how I used to keep like a list of 20 previously read comics on the main panel? That sort of is hit or miss for me as a feature. So what I did is I just started add to list, and then I go to my collection and I read it that way. Yeah.
All right.
But in terms of like the start, like one thing I absolutely love about it is they have so much that you could actually see the footnotes. Like when you see the footnote, it says start, go read in the Marvel Tales or Marvel Team Up or Marvel Spotlight, and then you can actually do that. Like you could actually follow the thread of the little editor's notes if you want. And I think that's amazing. The one thing that they didn't is like I'm reading Amazing Spider-Man Peter Parker like back and forth from the 99 series because it's John Byrne and John Romita Jr. And I know it's the Spider-Woman series by John Byrne writing it, and it's drawn by Bart Sears, is around the same time, and guess what? They didn't have it.
Oh,
So
really?
my comic shop order, I had so much in the cart. I mean, not in the cart, but in the want list that I just picked. But it was all about getting a Spider-Woman, the one issue I was missing. That's why I decided to finally make a purchase. Is because I was missing one issue of that Maddie. She's a 15-year-old girl that was posing as Spider-Man. And she's related to she's the niece of J. Jonah Jameson.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I don't know that this is that this reason alone. I don't think is worth it. But like, for instance, today, I was thinking, oh, maybe I would read like one of the Spider-Man issues that like shortly after I started like buying them back to back, like actually collecting them. But we're redoing a couple rooms upstairs, and where I kept all my comics is going to be Allie's own room.
Oh,
So
they were
right
in the
now,
same
all
room,
of
so
those,
you're losing space instead
I'm
of
losing
gaining.
space, but all those boxes that I had in that room are just all stacked in the dining room right now. Because we have no, like, I got to figure out where we're going to permanently put them. But right now, they're all stacked. I'm like, I am not going through all those boxes to look for Amazing Spider-Man. There's no way.
That's
I'll
what's
hang up.
great. And here's what and I think this is where you'll love it. Okay. Let me just give you a scenario. I buy a comic because I'm missing it in my list, and it might be right in the middle of a story arc. Well, if I read that and I'm like, well, I want to know how I got here, or I want to know how it finishes, I don't have to go find it in my boxes. I just can continue that one arc. So
You can't.
if I want to know what happens to MJ and this guy that's stalking her, I could go find out without having to lift, because a lot of my comics up until 2010 were, I think, in long boxes, and they're stackable. They weren't the drawer boxes, so they're not easy to get. I'd have to
No, that's how
lift.
all of mine are.
Yeah. So like anything past 2010 is like a drawer box, so they're easy to get to. I just have to know roughly what stack they're, what row, and where to go. And I usually have to or open four drawers to figure out, oh, I'm roughly around here. I need this is where I need to look. But I can't lift those freaking boxes anymore.
I got a question. Now I got a question for you because you have such a large collection. I imagine the answer to this is no, just based on what you just said. But you don't, I'm assuming you don't still try to keep all of the comics in some sort of straight order, like all of this, like Amazing Spider-Man,
No, I
all
gave
of
up. I gave up on merging.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's not happening unless I have time in retirement,
I
and
mean, I
I'm
can't imagine.
bored off
Like,
my
I'm
gourd.
still trying to do it, Mike,
I would
but
love to
it's
merge it,
crazy.
but it gets too large. And I even talked to Bob Breetal, and he doesn't do it anymore. I call it the comic book merge, and the merge is very painful, and I think Kirk has tried it a couple times. 'Cause I remember when I first met Kirk, he was we'd be talking on Twitter, and he'd post like this. He'd have the living room full of boxes, and he was just like going through the boxes and trying to put Spider-Man with Spider-Man or whatever he was doing, and just to find his books, and but he's like more chaotic, like.
Yeah, he almost he needs to like
His
sort what he has
collection,
first and
like
then.
his collection would give me like anxiety
Yeah, me too.
because I at least know where to find stuff, and I don't think he does.
Right. Yeah, no. I'm still I still try to attempt it. The last time I did a I mean it's still all merged kind of so to speak, but like quite a few years ago, maybe 5, 6 years ago now, Stacy said, "Well, listen, you keep on having to move things around. Why don't you buy a bunch of boxes and leave them mostly empty, like, put like maybe fill them a quarter full and leave them scattered in order throughout your entire like
That
assortment of boxes.
and
So
that
that way you
work
can
that
constantly move stuff. And it
I
worked for
hear
5 or 6 years. But now I'm
that
at the point where they're all full
full
now and I need to actually start
and
like moving.
it like you might have a run of Spider-Man that goes through like four boxes and it just keeps growing
Yes.
and it impedes in the next box and it's like where does it go? But
Yes.
I was gonna IM Bob. I know he switched databases, but I was thinking of starting to do this, and I know it's gonna kill your OCD, but this is what I was thinking of doing, is sorting by Marvel, DC, and other, and then the others sorted alphabetically, which I do now, but as they come in. So like, let's say I get a shipment of DCBS. Right now I sort it. All that's the first step, and then I put them in a box, and then I do a merge, and then I do another merge, and then I finally take it to where it's gonna go. So I have like 3 months worth of books, Marvel, DC, and other. But if I just scan them all in, you know how you have that one screen where the scanner is like, here's all the books you've scanned in. I think I can take that scan and then go over to the one of those other columns and say box 16.
I think you can.
And then I could just all of the books I just scanned in will be in box 16, if that makes any sense.
It makes 100%
And then
sense.
I'll know exactly where they are. I'll say, oh, I just have to, oh, I want that book. It's in box 16. And that will work for like going forward. And then at some point I would like to do a merge again.
I tried doing what you're describing to some extent. I mean, not as not with a comic base, but just in terms of okay, here, and I was going to label them with index cards, like on the actual box, on the front of the box, saying this is what's in this box and so on. But and I started doing it for
It's so
maybe
much
a
work, though.
year.
It's so much
It was a lot of
work.
work, and it really started to drive me crazy that that the comics weren't in any like actual
Yeah.
overall order.
That
So
I
I
try
stopped.
I tried that too, and that was just God, it's just so extensive. Because
Yeah.
I get a lot more books than you.
Yeah, you probably get
So
three to
it's
four
so
times
so so
every week.
take your problem and multiply it by four.
Right.
So it's like, oh God, this is a
No,
lot
see.
of fucking work. It's almost like I would need 2 days off a week to do that approach.
Mike, with what I bring in, I think it's like I think it's still doable for me to keep doing merges. There are a lot of work and stuff like that, but I think it's doable. I don't think it's I don't know how it's doable for you if you're basically filling a full short box every single week.
Yep. I just filled a short box with my comic shop order.
They should
Two
have sent
short
it to you in a
boxes.
short box.
It actually came in, it filled a full filled out the Marvel and DC filled out one short box entirely. And then the other box, I got about a half of other. It's weird because I went on this when I ordered, I was like, God, you know how I'm a mood guy. And unfocused, I decided I'm in the mood for Marvel, so I was like focused on Marvel, and I didn't buy a lot of other. And usually it's the other way around. Like I'm buying like obscure stuff or Image or to fill gaps. And this time I had the smallest stack was non-DC Marvel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. What kind of things did you get?
I ordered a lot of What If Volume 2. I have all the entire series of What If Volume 1, and I was missing a lot of Volume 2. And Rob was talking about it on his podcast that Jim Valentino did a lot of What If, and he even did one with Rob. And I'm talking about one of those today.
Oh,
But
cool.
I'm like obsessed with image creators, so like. If I hear that Valentino's done that, like I have his full run of Guardians of the Galaxy, but I didn't know he did like sporadic issues of What If. So I
Right.
bought a bunch of What If. I almost completed my Deathlok run entirely.
Wow.
I'm missing like four issues. You know, the 90s run.
Yeah.
I had the mini series and I have most of his Astonishing Tales in his first appearance. And everything after that, but I didn't have a lot of that 90s run. I think I like got like the first 14 issues and then quit. So I almost filled that run, and I just about completed my Punisher run and volume after the mini series, there was a full Punisher run, and I'm only lacking like 95 through 100 and something.
You're
So
really
it's
moving
like I
right along,
only,
aren't you?
yeah. Well, and I not only that with Punisher, I've completed Warzone, I've completed War Journal, I've completed like almost everything, just like I did with Ghost Rider. So that's where a lot of it went.
That's good.
Yeah, a lot of it went to a lot of the Marvel books that I was getting, and then there's some random issues of Fury, like there's a one shot. If you type Fury on your database, it's vo first series.
First series, yeah, I see it.
It this one was interesting because that cover is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that cover, so the cover sold me. But the writer is Barry Dutter, and this is a guy that's prominent on Facebook for he's like Aaron Myers that sells comics. Like he goes buys huge collections and then sells them on Facebook. So
Wow.
I like was interested in getting that, and then I have become a real big fan of MC Wyman. So I got that, and then there was the there's another there's a Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's only four issues, but it's one of those that was written by Howard Chaykin, and I don't even know who the artist is. But it's from 1995, and it
Corky,
just,
Corky's the artist.
yeah, Quirky Lemunku Kai. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not easy
But
to pronounce.
the covers, because you know I've been in the 90s, They look so 90s that I was
Oh,
like, I
yes, they do.
have to have this run.
I mean, like that first cover, what
The
that was four.
chromium, yeah.
Yeah, I
It's
mean,
chromium too.
I
And then the
wouldn't
fourth one's
say that
polybagged with
Fury,
the decoder.
Cable, or Cyclops, or like who that is. He is bulky.
Oh yeah. And that's a chromium. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
So
Wow, I like
it
that.
had a creator that I wanted. And then four is a gimmick too. It's polybagged with a free decoder.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Was yours still polybagged?
Yeah, I bought the polybagged one. So yeah, I bought a lot of that stuff, and then I bought I have every Mystery in Space when it came back now. You know how it came back in the 80s? I have everything from that point on, and I have a very solid collection of Mystery in Space with Silver Age Adam Strange. Like I have little pockets that I'm missing, like, but it looks like if you're scrolling on Mystery in Space with Adam Strange, it looks like there's very few holes. Like if you're just scrolling on Comic Base. So yeah,
Wow.
I got that, and I competed Power Lords and a lot of stuff that nobody cares about, but.
You know how many Mystery in Space I own? One. Number 102. That's it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. There, when I was a silver, when I was young as a kid, I was addicted to Adam Strange and Hawkman. Like it was totally their costumes. Like, if I saw him on a cover, like of Justice League and Adam Strange was on it, I had to have it. So, yeah, I loved Adam Strange and Hawkman for that matter. Like Hawkman visually is just one of the most appealing characters. I just think he's great.
I didn't realize that when Mystery in Space came back in the 80s that it was like almost like a sci-fi horror comic. At least it looks that way from the covers.
Yeah, it was more of a EC type comic book.
Definitely an anthology, right?
Yeah, an anthology. Just like the horror ones, but more
Yeah,
like sci-fi horror.
yeah.
So, yeah.
That's interesting. That's pretty cool.
But I am miss I thought Mystery in Space, maybe I'm thinking of House of Secrets. No, House of Secrets has a lot of the Dial H, right?
I think so. Yes, early
Yeah.
House of Secrets. Yeah. So let me ask you one more question. You haven't discussed this recently, at least that I've heard. How are you still? Is it on your radar at all still to try to get all the every DC comic? Since what was it, 19 what? 70.
73.
So yeah, is it still on your radar at all,
Yeah,
or
it's still
okay.
on my radar. Matter of
Okay.
fact, that's what the Mystery in Space thing was about. Because
Gotcha.
those are after 70, 73.
Right, all the other ones like ended by the
Yep.
late 60s, right?
Yeah. And I think I did that with Black Hawk. Like I have every Black Hawk. I'm still for the main titles, like the main ongoings. If you take the main characters like Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Flash, Detective, Action Comics,
I would
Justice
guess you have
League,
them all.
I have them all. Yeah. Where I'm missing stuff is maybe some of those side minis and romance, horror, and war. So it's more genre based that I'm missing stuff. And Western mostly have it, like because I have all the Jonah Hexes and Weird Western, and there the other Westerns, the only ones I'm missing I think are Batlash because there wasn't too many Westerns after 73.
Right.
So I have the Scalp Hunters and well those were in Weird Western, but
You know what would be
Cinnamon.
cool, and I don't know that it, I don't know any way to do this, but if there was some way that you could retrieve a report from Comic Base by setting it comics 1973 or later DC, and it just spits you out a full list of all of
Well, I'm pretty sure you can, 'cause it is a database, and you could write open queries. So
them. Yeah, I mean, I'm
you
sure
could
I
say
just don't know how.
you could say select star from whatever their table name is, where publishing date is less than 1973, and and publisher equals DC Comics.
See? Well, you should do it. You
So yeah.
should do that. And then and omit all the ones that you already own.
Yeah, that would
Quantity
be,
equals zero.
yeah, if it's checked off as quantity is one or greater, then
Yeah.
that would be one of your where clauses.
Yeah. That would be
No,
really
it'd
cool.
just be where quantity equals zero. That's what
Yeah.
you select.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
then the one thing that's nice about that query is you wouldn't have to worry about like variation A, B, C, or D, because they didn't do variations that
No.
like for a lot of the older books.
Right.
In the newer
If
stuff,
they
I
did, it's like a recent reprint or something like that they threw in with an action
yeah.
figure.
And I am missing a few of the Vertigos and Wildstorms, but not a lot. It's more of the obscure stuff, like Gen 13. Yeah, got it. Like Wildcat stuff, got it. Any of that stuff, it's like some of the op like there might be a Spartan series or something like that I'm missing, or a Majestic. But not a
Wow.
lot.
That's amazing. What th that's going to be a
But where
if you can get that done, that's going to be a huge celebration.
I've really grown is Marvel. Like I've grown. I almost have like a full run of X-Men, except for like night above 19 and higher,
Yeah.
in every incarnation. Well, now until recently, like I'm not gonna get that. We just talked about some of the ones I'm not gonna be getting.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not gonna be reading them.
Right.
It just mean I'm not gonna get the physical copy. Marvel Unlimited app. That's what that's for. It's for the stuff that doesn't rock my world, I guess, or doesn't want have like a collectability thing for me.
Yeah,
That I want to read, and
absolutely.
I just want to see what Storm's up to, because I like Storm. Like Storm is one of my favorite X-Men, but one of my
No, you're
favorite
right. That's
female X-Men.
perfect for that. I mean, that way you can still enjoy the stories and stuff, but I mean,
Yeah.
you're paying for the service, so.
I just find myself reading stuff that I've already read a lot. Because I'd rather read that. I for the sa the same reason that we talked about.
Yeah.
I have this soap opera feel, and there's like four plot threads, and it just keeps you it keeps you engaged where you want to keep going.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Power Man and Iron Fist.
All right. So, yeah, Power Man, Iron Fist 103, 104. It's a two-part story, and what it starts out with is this weird a guy who turns out to be the villain. First, I should tell you, Archie Goodwin was the writer. Greg LaRocque was the penciler on both issues. So this weird villain looks like he's in a parking ramp, and he's killed a couple of people. There's a whole lot of internal dialogue going on, or monologue, I should say, going on here. And looks like he's wants to basically just destroy the world. And Luke Cage and Danny Rand are going to the United Nations building. They're being hired by a guy that works for the United Nations to be bodyguards for. So there's these two Middle Eastern countries that used to be one, and years ago, the United Nations basically split them up, and the one is ruled by kind of like a religious type leader, and the other one is ruled by the traditional royal family that used to, be in charge of the entire larger country. Khotane is the religious country, and Dakran is the traditional one under the royal family. Used to be all called Khotane. And so anyhow, Power Man and Iron Fist are being hired to be the prince's bodyguard at a United Nations meeting between him, the prince, and the religious leader, to try to broker some peace, because there's, as you can imagine, country has been artificially separated in half, and there's been nonstop war between the two sides as they try to take over the entire area. So they're making their way to the United Nations. Meanwhile, Misty Knight and Colin Wing are actually in Khotan. They've been hired by, if I can find the name of this, I didn't take any notes, but it's this particular company that had an actual presence in the country, and it was their building was blown up, and the two ladies were
It's not Roxxon, is it? They have
no,
their
it's not.
they
It's
have
actually not.
they have
Yeah, I know.
evil businesses everywhere.
If I can find it, I'll say what it is. I'm not seeing it right here. But they're going there to pick up. The whole place is bombed out, but the company has some business papers, important business papers there, and apparently they were secured in an attaché case. But as everyone was running for their lives as the missiles were dropping, it was just left there. So they're there to kind of excavate it and bring it back. So they're doing that with the help of a guide, and they end up finding the building, and it's totally, it's all bombed out. And so they go and start doing some work to try to find it. Now, the two guys, they get to the United Nations, and they say, okay, they're introduced, and okay, we're going to be the bodyguard. They go to the party at the United Nations that evening, prior to the negotiations, and there's a very tense exchange between the prince and I don't know what it's called. The religious leader is called a Mahdi, Mahdi, and kind of like the Shah of Iran or something like that. So a very tense exchange between them, but Danny and Luke try to keep things calm. They separate, and Danny goes up above the rooftop to kind of watch out, and Luke's down with the crowd. So as Danny's there, this guy from the very beginning, who's like in this weird suit of armor, he comes out from the exhaust vent on the roof. He doesn't expect to see anyone, but he quickly shoots kind of a energy force out of his gauntlet, and Danny gets out of the way just in time, and he's lucky because this particular energy blast actually has poison in it. The guy had killed an ambassador from Khotane earlier with that same thing, and the guy had died not from the blast but from poison. So Danny manages to avoid that and kicks the guy, but he immediately activates his force field around this suit and rams, and Danny goes flying off right into a wall, and this bad guy calls himself Doombringer, but he doesn't have very much else to say. He starts attacking Danny, and they're going back and forth for a little bit. And actually, at one point, Iron Fist grabs he grabs Doombringer, and even though he knows he's going to activate his force field, he's just holding on, and it's actually almost like causing burns on him. trying to get that force field to overload. And although it seems like that has worked to some extent, Danny's pretty much out of it, but he manages to knock the both of them off the roof onto the main terrace so Luke can see what's happening. And the guy goes to shoot Danny again, and Luke gets in the way. And of course, with his unbreakable skin, it's not having any type of effect on him. He tries to punch the guy, and his force field's regenerated and goes bouncing back. This Doombringer goes to kill the prince, and Luke jumps back and manages to grab the guy. And again, just like Danny had, he's holding on even with the force field, and his skin starts to actually sear, and he's not letting go. And finally, he blows the whole force field out, and it kind of like short circuits, and that knocks Danny back. It's obviously had effect on Doombringer, but he's going after the prince now. So he's gone after the prince. He has also tried to kill the Shah guy, the Mahdi, at one point. So Danny's about to stop him where this one ex-general, or I don't know if he was a general necessarily, but an ex-US military guy that's also a bodyguard for this prince steps in front, and he ends up getting killed by Doombringer's sheathed knife that comes out of his back of his hand, kind of like Wolverine's claws. And he jumps off the side and plummets into the river. And there's no more is seen from him, and they're thinking that he's probably dead. But the prince is very upset about all this and saying that there's going to be no peace with Khotaine. We quickly flash. It's called the Uni World Trading Corporation. I found it here at the end. There's two guys talking, and they say, "Oh, well, it looks." They're talking about this Doombringer and saying that it seems like that he blames them for the fact that his family had died. But it looks like he's still doing what they wanted him to do in terms of making tension between those two countries. And they imply now that, I guess, the women from Nightwing Restorations, Colleen and Misty, are no longer needed, so they can go ahead and sacrifice them. And that's where we start issue 104 with. And you've got the two ladies. They found the attaché case, and they're running to get out of the country, and they're surrounded by a bunch of assassins with swords. There's a lot of them, and they make it a point. The writer, Archie Goodwin, makes it a point to say that it's a close fight, 2 against 10 or 12, but the odds were just overwhelming enough that the assassins were able to knock out the two. And they wake up chained up, and they're being interrogated now because they thought they're being hired by Uniworld to recover business papers, and apparently it's all spy information. So the Mahdi of Khotaine is back in Khotaine, and he's now accusing them of espionage and saying that they're gonna be killed. They're gonna execute them for spying. We cut back to New York City, and the two guys are in the sewers looking around for Doombringer, and the police have already been through and haven't found anything. They go through, they don't find anything, and you see as they're leaving, Doombringer kind of like lifts himself off of from underneath the water in the sewer, and his suit gives him some oxygen reserves, so he was hiding under there. Then you get a full page spread with a lot of exposition here, giving you a whole background of Doombringer and how he was a spy for the United States and an assassin as well. And he was, very, very good at his job. And but finally he got sick of just killing and killing and killing. And so he said, I'm out of this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I've got a wife and a daughter now. And so they convince him to do one more mission. They have something for him to field test, and that's when he gets the armor. And so they bring they all go to Koh Tang, and his wife and daughter are brought with him and are supposedly safe at the Uniworld Trading Corporation there. And it ends up getting destroyed by the Mahdi and his group. They blow it up. So he lost his daughter, he lost his wife, and now he just wants to see everyone be destroyed. So he wants to incite both of these groups to fight each other, because as it turns out, the U.S. is backing Dartan, and the Soviet Union is backing Koh Tang, and they're hoping if enough, he's hoping if enough happens, World War III will start, and he just wants to end it all. It's not enough that for him to die; he wants everyone to die.
Take
Not enough.
everybody out.
Yeah, exactly. He's got no reason to live. He doesn't want anyone else to live now at this point, too. So we get back to Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and they've been knocking on doors to try to figure out where to go, and they finally they finally make their way to this mid-Manhattan office, and finally in the right spot, because they start getting shot at, and they manage to obviously easily dispatch with this the Uniworld security, and they knock everyone out, and they grab this guy called Tinker, and he's the one that made that armor for Doombringer. And so they bring him along to Koh Tang with them, and he explains what the whole plan was, that they wanted to prove that Doombringer's battle suit was worth countries hiring them for munitions and for security and stuff. But after some covert operations in Cambodia and South America, a lot of countries stopped funding them, because I guess those were pretty that they didn't work out. So now with this suit, they wanted to prove that they kind of got their mojo back, but it's blowing up in their face, of course, because now Doombringer wants to push the entire world to World War III. So they're bringing this guy Tinker with them, because they figure, they don't want him out safe in some bunker somewhere. They want him in the action too. So they land in Koh Tang, actually in Doc Ran near the border, and turns out the guy flying the plane was Doombringer himself in a disguise. So after Danny and Luke leave to start looking for him, he takes off after. And Luke and Danny get word of that two American women were being held in the Mahdi's palace. And so they know who that must be. So they break in, and they go ahead and they go to rescue the ladies, and they've already kind of rescued themselves or are about to get out when Danny comes walking in. So they get the ladies their weapons back, and they fight the security guards in the palace back out. They jump into a helicopter waiting on the roof, and they got Tinker with them. They got the girls, so it's all five of them. And they start flying out, and they finally land back in Dakran, and they're with Tinker's help, they've landed near a missile command center because they're thinking now that Doombringer is going to launch some missiles, and they go and check, and sure enough, he's got some missiles set to attack Russia and to attack the United States. So he's really, really playing it all up to try to get these two superpowers to start fighting each other. So they get there and they already hear gunfire coming from below. So they go running down, and there's sure enough, there's Doombringer. He's already taken care of all of the guards that were there. So they all start fighting, and he's just about to launch the missiles when Danny does his chi and gets the power of the Iron Fist, and Doombringer says, "That's not going to work. I've got my force field at full strength, so I don't know what you think you're going to do." And Luke explains, "Well, you know what? It's not you that he's trying to hit." And sure enough, Danny jumps and destroys the control panel, so no missiles can be launched. And Doombringer quickly runs down a access tunnel where he can manually still launch the missile since he can't do it by the control panel. And he runs that way, and then a blast door seals, and moments later the room shakes with an explosive thunder, and they say, "He did it, a launch, we're all gonna die." And the prince says, no, he rushed to his own doom, because the destruction of the control panel caused the rockets to misfire in the silos themselves. Warheads aren't actually armed until the actual launch occurs, so it was just normal explosions, not nuclear explosions, that happened right in the silo itself that was sealed off. So the only person to die was Doombringer himself. And and that's the end of the two-part issue. Is the only other thing is, I don't remember who Bob Diamond is. I don't know if you do, but he's a friend of Colleen and Misty's, and it's back in Washington, D.C., and he punches this guy Taylor out, who was actually the one that negotiated Power Man and Iron Fist to take that UN job in the first place. He was in cahoots with Uniworld, and the thing that was interesting is the take here with Archie Goodwin, because the very end it has the radio playing and it says the headlines that a real bad escalation between Kotaine and Doc Rand seems to be abating now. Now this close call, the prince and the Mahdi have decided to drop the war between them. And so you think that that's bright news, but then it goes on to other news saying, "But in Central America, negotiations broke down between," and then that's the end of the issue, just as if to, obviously indicate that there always seems to be some sort of crisis going on in the world, and as soon as you solve one, another one seems to pop up, which is definitely how it seemed back, if you remember back in the 80s. It's
Yeah.
like constantly you felt like, at any moment there's going to be World War III with a nuclear holocaust or something
Well,
like that.
we're getting there again with the
It's
Russians.
kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like the Cold War is sort of resurfacing.
I know, it really reminds me of some of those, other wars where like it starts over a smaller country that like
Yeah.
nobody really knows much about, but that becomes the
Well,
igniting
what it really
spark.
comes down is the Russians want NATO forces out of their area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and that's what's really driving the whole damn thing. It's not really, I mean, it's a Ukraine thing, but they're trying to get warm water ports, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
yeah,
not
it's all interesting.
very we'll see what happens. But yeah, I didn't like those alerts I was getting last week where they're like telling all these troops to be ready or whatever to be
Yeah.
sent to the Ukraine.
There's gonna be a lot of like cyber too
Yeah.
going
Oh, for
on.
sure.
So like they got warnings on the news about power attacks on power facilities. So yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, not good at all.
So you forgot, I don't remember you mentioning, maybe you did, but the second cover is drawn by John Byrne.
Yeah, no, I did not, but yeah,
Yeah,
you're right.
so I have a John Byrne connection because I'm going to be talking about Amazing Spider-Man number 9 from the 1998 series.
Oh, okay.
And this one is Howard Mackie. He's doing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and Amazing Spider-Man. And he's the total writer on both of them. And then John Byrne is doing the art with finishes by Ray Christing. And the interesting thing is they just switched the inker. And when they switched the inker, you could definitely see more burn than the previous inker. So you could actually see a lot more like classical burn in this particular issue. And the scene opens up with a bombing of a building, and this guy Jonathan Rickman, he's taking like records and notes. He looks like he's a reporter of some type. And Spider-Man saving a little girl in a building, and he's like, he goes and sees the man on top of the building, and he's holding like a book. And he's like, I can't let them get the hold of this book. And Spider-Man rescues him because he was coming off the building. He saves his life. And he goes to the hospital, obviously. And it fell to the ground. And he notices there's a bunch of names like Anders, Wamoro, Polinski, Havelock, Peter Parker. And he's like, what the hell? Why is my name on this thing? What's going on? And there's an ad for win a $3,500 Spider-Man guitar
Oh,
from
wow.
it's a Les Paul guitar. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a lot of
I
money.
wonder who won it, if anyone. MJ's back on the islands. She's doing a model thing that's supposed to make them rich, but guess what happens? What could happen on a small island that could stop you from shooting? A tornado, what do you call it? A
A hurricane?
typhoon, a hurricane.
Yeah.
So, no, but Peter was supposed to meet her on the island. This hurricane has everything in isolation, and she's about to lose power. But she calls Peter and leaves a message, and he's not there. And at this time, just to set the scene, Peter and MJ are not being truthful with one another. She thinks that Peter stopped being Spider-Man and that Spider-Man is somebody else, but you got to remember that she saw Peter and Spider-Man at the same place at the same time, so she'd think that. But that's when Maddie was wearing the Spider-Man costume. She's no longer wearing it anymore. She's wearing more like of a Spider-Woman costume. And then Jill is like the best friend of Mary Jane, and she's always hanging out with Peter, which is interesting. But he goes back to drop off some photos of the fire to the Daily Bugle. At this time, he's working for two jobs, okay? He's working for the Daily Bugle, and then he's working for Tri-Corps Labs. And I would fire him from Tri-Corps because he's never there. Like he'd be gone. Like he's already on the shit list, but we haven't seen him go to work since like issue 2 at Tri-Corps. So like I think we get a little of that in this issue. He is trying to figure out like why his name is on this list. Needs to do investigation. And then there's the Stacys. Well, Jill is a Stacy. She's the cousin of Gwen Stacy. And you know how both the Stacys died? Wasn't
Captain
the
Stacy.
Captain Stacy died and the Gwen?
Yeah.
Well, this is her br the Captain Stacy's brother.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a son and a daughter, so they play a prevalent role in this series. But Spider-Man decides to go investigate the burned building, and he finds some stuff. There's also an ad for a Oreo stacking contest in 1999, and you can win a trip to Orlando and a role on a TV on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. If you can stack the Oreos the highest.
Huh.
So that I found that interesting. There's also an ad for Black Panther's Marvel Knights, just to give you a
Oh,
time
yeah.
frame. The building collapses on Peter. He says, "I'm really not a detective." He's no Batman. He doesn't know what he's doing. He gets some stuff and he goes to talk to his Stacy's brother, because he's a private investigator. He's investigating a Senator Ward who's very corrupt. And I think Senator Ward's getting ready to threaten everybody. But he gives him some pointers on what he needs to do. And he says that one of the things he should do is go question the guy that he saved off the building. And he's shocked that it's Parker. He's like, "Listen to me now, boy. You've got to get away from here. You're one of us. It won't stop." Well, this is sort of when they Marvel does these like soft reboots. They're like
Yeah.
in continuity all the time, but they like tweak things. And one of the things they tweak is the Spider-Man origin, because the origin is more like involves Dr. Octavius and an experiment and a radioactive spider biting him there. And this ties back to Octavius and the new Spider-Woman that's sucking the spider strength from Julia Carpenter and Jessica Drew and Maddie. Dr. Octavius was behind all that. And he's going to attack the hospital where that guy is at. And he's like, "We've been found. We're going to die." Meanwhile, there's a nice scene of John Byrne drawing Mary Jane in the bathtub. And she's got a cloth over her eyes, and the phone's ringing. And she like grabs a towel, rushes to get the phone, and she picks up the phone and says, "This has got to be Peter. We really have a lot to talk about. I got to tell him about my stalker." She's hiding that secret from Peter of that she's being stalked. Well, it is the stalker, and he's like, "I know where you are. I'm watching you and all this stuff." And she freaks out. She says, "I got to get home to Peter." And that's how the issue ends. So, pretty exciting. There's a nice letters page called The Spider's Web. And a lot of pissed off people angry about Spider-Woman. They're angry about the new Spider-Woman villain being stereotypical, and the fact that they're not using the other Spider-Women that are more popular, Jessica Drew and Julia Carpenter, and they're focusing on Maddie and the new Spider-Woman that's sapping their strength. So it's interesting. There's always people to gripe.
Interesting.
Yep, really cool issue. Really like
Sounds
the
good.
ink on this one, though. Like, the other guy, I forget what his name is, Scott something or another, he sort of makes burn art look more like a different style. Like, you could definitely see that it's burned, but it doesn't look like Fantastic Four burn or Alpha Flight burn. So yeah, this inker is inking more to, I think, John Byrne's style.
Yeah. I miss John Byrne.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was searching for a book, and I couldn't remember Fatal from Broadway. And I was like, "What is her name? Did it begin with Babe? Because she's like a sexy." And I searched for Babe,
Yeah.
and Babe is a John Byrne drawn comic from Dark Horse. And I was like, "That looks cool. I gotta put that in my cart."
Yeah, I've got Babe.
Yeah, I don't have Babe. And
Yeah, I was
there's a
definitely
ba
the sucker
there's
for the John Byrne and the art, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, these covers look great. So
Yeah.
I put Babe and Babe 2 on
I don't
my
know if I've got Babe 2.
cart.
I did not get Babe 2.
Yep, those are John Byrne issues too,
I
so.
see that. Yeah. Only two issues there, huh?
Yeah, only 2 issues.
It's cool.
So this is real close to the time that this is coming out. Well, yeah, it's at the he did his Legends stuff, I think, and then went back to Marvel for a short time.
Yeah.
And now
Yeah.
he's briefly in IDW, showing up every now and then with a Star Trek
Yeah, I was
comic
just
book.
looking him up. Yeah, it doesn't look like he's done much in the past handful of years, but
He's a
yeah,
very
I
angry man.
yes,
He's very bitter towards the big two. And I know that CB Sabalsky tried to get him back, and I guess that fell through.
didn't work, huh?
Yeah. Not for lack of trying, but
Yep. Nope.
it would be nice. 'Cause he's not just a good artist, he can write really well. Like
I found his style of writing just very, very, very good. Just it really appealed to me for whatever, like the Alpha Flights,
Yeah, and the
Namor. I
Fantastic
absolutely
Four,
love.
Namor.
Oh my God, Fantastic Four, of course. But
Yeah.
yeah, his he was really, really good. And I mean, he drew, all those issues for a while with Claremont, and Claremont is one of the first I think of with a million. So, I mean, with him, he had probably too many subplots going on. But like, so maybe you learned some of that stuff from Claremont. But I mean, that's the subplot thing. He was, I thought John Byrne did a great job doing that
Oh
style
yeah,
of.
sure did.
That kept me very, very invested in like a character that I probably didn't care as much about, like Namor. But just totally, totally invested in that story.
That's another run that I'm almost like 2 issues away from completing, the
Oh,
original
nice.
Prince Namor Submariner. The
Not
12 cent
the
issues.
John Byrne one, but
Oh,
the other
I
one.
already have the John Byrne one
Gotcha.
completed.
Yeah, I bought up to like, I kept buying after he left, but only up to 51, and then I just dropped off.
So I, in terms of Namor, like I'll have all of his, once that's completed, I'll have everything except for that tsunami. Do you remember there was like a Marvel Tsunami line, and they brought back a younger Prince Namor?
I do not remember that.
Well, there's that is the only one I'm missing. So I'll have like every Namor comic, including the limited series and all that stuff,
Well,
complete.
now you got to get the first issue, first his first appearance,
Oh,
first
that's
Silver Age
Golden
appearance.
Age, though.
His
What's
first
his first
Silver Age.
Silver Age?
It's Fantastic Four between one and five. I
Oh,
don't know what it
shit.
is.
Yeah, that's like 4 and 5,
Yeah,
I
something.
think.
Yeah, somewhere right at the
No,
beginning.
I don't
Yeah,
have that. I
that's
think my
correct.
earliest Fantastic Four. I
Let me
might
see if I
have
can
an
find it.
early appearance of his, but I don't have that one. And if I do, it's really bad shape.
Yeah, I can't. I don't. I can't. I'm not seeing that which one it was. I thought it was very early on, but maybe it was. I thought it was like within the first five issues, but maybe it
Yeah, I
wasn't.
thought so too. I thought it was issue 4, but I
Yeah.
yeah, first appearance of Submariner in Silver Age is
Four. Oh, yeah.
issue 4.
I should have known by the cover. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I almost bought issue 4 from Aaron Myers, but it was beat. Like I just couldn't. It looked like it was sawed off on the corner. It just was not. It hit all those buttons that I was like, oh, it doesn't pass that.
Yeah.
But it was at least affordable.
Let's see what our
A good.
database, yeah, for a good copy.
I think this was fair.
3,400 for a good copy,
Well,
it's
no,
saying.
I think the his was like
Fair.
fair. So,
2,100.
yeah, it's still a lot.
Oh, it's Yeah. How about a CGC 0.5? 520.
There you go. But see, with when books that bad, you know how I crack open a CGC? I would
Yeah, you.
not crack open a 0.5
No,
'cause
because it'll fall apart.
I'd be
Yeah.
afraid it'd fall apart. Like
Oh, it will 100% would fall apart.
my Batman number 3 is like a G font. Well, it's like just barely attached. And the cover on the edges is like frayed a little bit. So I would be scared of even sending it to CGC, that it would get more damage, you know?
Oh, I agree. How do
Yeah.
you have it? Just in Mylar and a
I have it
clipboard?
in Mylar and a what do they call those thick casings? What are they called? The you slide it in on the top.
Yeah, it doesn't close.
Yeah, I don't forget what they're called.
Yeah, I forgot too.
Yeah.
But
I
I know
have
what
it
you
in one
mean.
of those.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to have it.
Yeah.
For sure. Wow.
All right,
Yeah,
what?
I wish that like so many of these, it's like even if would have bought stuff like 20 years ago, could have gotten a few more of these. Not now, they're so far out of my price range, it's not even
They
funny.
got ridiculous. Like I was giving you that example of the Silver Surfers. Like I could have probably completed my run for like $200 a couple years ago.
Right.
And
Right.
it's like he still has that one for 1500, and I want it so bad, but that's a lot of money.
It sure is. And you know what the thing is, at this point they never like even if something gets artificially pumped up because of something happening, if it's a Silver Age book, it never ends up going back down.
Yeah. It's
It's
just that though they jumped too fast, too high. Like in a couple of years, COVID, it just made stuff that we could complete uncompletable.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Tough. All right. Well, I'll do my next one.
Right.
You know that I started reading Mr. Miracle for the first time.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that. This one that I'm gonna talk about is, hang on, here it is. Mr. Miracle number 6.
Is this a physical copy or are you reading a collected edition?
I am reading the collected edition, the paperback Jack Kirby ones that were coming out maybe 2, 3 years ago, I want to say. Yeah. So this has the complete, 1 through 18, Mr. Miracle.
I have all the originals
Yeah, I've
because
never
I
read
bought them in
any Mr.
college. I
Miracle.
bought them in like 1992, probably. I bought all my Commandees, all my Mr. Miracles, all my New Gods, all my Forever People, all my demons. I went on like a Jack Kirby tear in college.
I own Mr. Miracle number 1, and I bought it probably about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's the only one, only single issue that I own.
Another costume I absolutely love, and I can't explain if it's the colors or if it's the design, but it's just so weird. It's a weird
I,
costume.
for me, it's for me, a lot of it is that color combo. Because I
Yeah.
feel the same way. I think it's fantastic. I have a Mr. Miracle t-shirt that they did when Tom King and Mitch Gerards were doing the
And I have a Jack Kirby one.
yeah, and it's just like I actually get comments about the shirt even from people who have no idea what the hell that is.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a striking co I think because it has all those bright colors.
I think the colors just there's something about you, the orange and the green and the red and how it like meshes together in that costume, it just stands out. Like it's just.
You wouldn't think that it should work, but
No,
it does
you wouldn't,
perfectly.
but it does. It does.
Yeah, it really does.
It's such a weird costume for an escape artist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome
Because
though.
that costume came from the actor, the real escape artist.
Right.
It
Which
didn't come
Mike,
from.
I had no idea. I keep
Yeah.
on hearing in like current time issues, like in the past couple of years, I hear about Thaddeus. I'm like, who the hell is Thaddeus Brown?
Yeah, you it's
Like
Thaddeus Brown as the original, and then Shiloh Norman,
right.
because he's in those Golden Age. I mean, he's in those issues you're reading now.
Yeah,
Shiloh shows up.
well, see, he hasn't shown up yet, but at least I know where Thaddeus Brown came from, because up to this point, I'm like, okay, all these Mr. Miracles, like, I don't know, like, how they fit in, because I only know Scott Free. And
Yeah.
now I've learned about Thaddeus Brown, and I guess I'll learn about the other one, too, before I'm done.
Well, Shiloh Norman's had a couple of Mr. Miracles comics.
Well, I
So
just read, like, his mini that just was out, but I don't,
well, he was in
not
Seven
aware of his history.
Soldiers. He was in the Seven Soldiers that was it Morrison? Who did Seven
Yeah, I
Soldiers?
think so. I think it was
But
Grant
he
Morrison.
was in Shiloh Norman was that. The latest mini was Shiloh Norman. He's been in Action Comics, that was Shiloh. And then he had his own mini in the 90s, like his own ongoing. So it didn't last long because Mr. Miracle doesn't usually last longer than 19 or 20 issues. But
Yeah, exactly. But this is a good one. It's number six that introduces Funky Flashman.
yeah.
Is he a villain or a hero? You decide.
I think he's a villain.
Now, you know the background with Funky Flashman and who supposedly he is in real
Yeah.
life? Okay.
Yeah.
And I read this with that in mind. And with that in mind, I can totally, like, see that being the case, but I don't know for sure if that's 100%, if he Jack Kirby ever said, yeah, that's Stan Lee, or if that's just assumed. But it was interesting. So the beginning of this starts with Funky Flashman. He's in a grand mansion, and he's got a butler, and apparently his father had passed away and had been rich, and even though the father is dead, he continues to dole out money 1 week at a time to Funky through this stone bust of his dad every month, or it might be every week, I don't remember which. The mouth opens up, and Funky has to stick his hand in there and grab the money that he gets for the month, and it's coming from some hidden location that he's never been able to find. So he's quite upset that he has to live month by month from this, and the amount that he's gotten this time is less than before. So he's quite upset about this. Funky has a plan though that he's detailing to his butler, that he wants to kind of rope in Mr. Miracle as, I guess, as he'd be like, I guess, his agent or what have you. And so he's getting ready. He goes ahead and puts on his he's a bald man, and he puts on his toupee, and he puts on a false mustache and a false beard. And honestly, he does look, in a lot of panels, looks quite similar to a mid early 70s Stan Lee when he was sporting that beard. So it is kind of funny. And then we cut over to Mr. Miracle, and as seems to happen for most issues, he's testing out a new escape device. And this one is a NASA rocket sled, and basically well, he's chained and manacled to this sled, and it's got the jet engines on the back that pushes it along on the track until it goes off a cliff. So he has a very short window of opportunity to escape from the manacles and everything, and jump off before this rocket sled goes hurtling off the cliff. So he has Oberon, and you know what the thing is too, Mike? I always thought Oberon was a new god too. I didn't realize he's just a man, at least
Yeah, he's a
Here.
sidekick.
Yeah. So Oberon gets it started, and whoosh, off it goes, and just in the nick of time, of course, Mr. Miracle escapes, but Oberon doesn't see it and thinks that when it exploded over sea across past the cliff, he thinks that Scott was has been killed, and all of a sudden he comes parachuting down, still sitting in the chair that the rocket sled was in, and he explains that he was able to get out, he got his hands free, press the ejection button, and it popped out before it went off the edge, and so he's like, oh, this is going to be a hit. So now Big Barda has come from Apocalypse already and is staying with Oberon and Scott, and we cut over to their home where Barda has a gun on Funky Flashman. He's come to visit, and he wants to talk to Mr. Miracle. So Barda starts questioning him and trying to figure out if he's from Apocalypse or not. And no, he's not. He's an Earth person. So she in this one she's wearing her little red bikini. She's not in her full outfit. He must have gotten notes. Jack must have gotten notes to draw Barda more often in this costume than in her full regalia. Scott and Oberon get there, and Funky's like, you guys are awesome. I want you guys to, I want to be in business with you, and I want you guys to do what you do, and I can represent you and everything else. And he's being a real snake oil salesman here, as they say. Barda had excused herself to have a bath, and she her side clip warning circuits start going off, ping ping ping, and that means that there's usually some sort of trouble, and it's got to be more than Funky. So she starts getting dressed, and from behind, some claws try to grab her, and she manages to get out of the way just in time. And who is it but Mad Harriet, another one of the Furies, and so Mad Harriet says that her and all the girls have been assigned, the whole battle unit's been assigned to kill Barda and Scott free. So they start fighting each other, and Barda picks up a huge table to block Mad Harriet's claws, razor sharp claws, when she gets kicked in the side and smashed onto the floor. Of course, we know that must be Stompa. But right after that, they kind of poof and vanish, and they have their clothes are webbed with phasing circuits, and it allows them to vanish and appear at will. So they've disappeared, and that noise brought Scott and Oberon in, and they're like, we've got to do something about this, because every issue somebody from Apocalypse is coming after them. They've already encountered Granny Goodness. They've been counted Vermin Vunderbar. They've encountered, I can't remember who the Overmind was off the top of my head. But they keep every single issue just about, there's, oh, Dr. Bedlam, that's what it was. They keep trying to get Scott back because he escaped from Apocalypse. So the next day at a rehearsal studio, Oberon and Mr. Miracle go back and talk to Funky Flashman, and they said, okay, here's another Mr. Miracle shows him another escape thing where it's this huge buzzsaw that comes through a piece of wood towards Scott as he's all manacled up and stuff. And of course, Scott manages to get free before the huge buzzsaw cuts him in half. There's another one where he doesn't even have any restraints. He has to go on this plastic bubble that's tougher than metal, and they drop a live concussion bomb into the bowl, and go boom. And there's all this smoke, and all of a sudden, who pops up his head? But Scott, totally unharmed. So obviously, Funky's totally over the moon about this, and he's like, "This is amazing. We're gonna tour all of America together. This is, we're gonna be raking the money." And he's like, "I can't believe, you get out of that with nothing but split second timing." And Scott says, "Well, there's also my mother, Box. She helps, but she doesn't do it all." And he shows Funky the mother box, and Funky grabs it and starts looking at it. He's like, "Wow." It's like, I don't know if he really knows what they are, and he's just never seen one closer, if he's lying that he knows what one are, because I don't know how he would know. But anyhow, all of a sudden they hear something fall in the other room, and it's Lashina, and she's about to whip a lash at Mr. Miracle when Barda grabs her from behind, and they start wrestling, and Lashina starts using her whips and going right through metal beams and everything else, and Barda takes her down, and she phases out.
The
So they
only
start.
other sexy Fury.
Yes.
Like, if you had to go on a date between Mad Harriet and Stompa, which would you choose? I
God,
would
that's a.
choose Stompa,
I would
probably.
have to choose Stompa because
Marriott would
she's
rip,
normal.
she would rip you apart.
Exactly.
She'd
And
get
who's
the
that?
nails in your back and just cut you in
What is
half.
Desaad's sister? Is it Bernice? I can't find her name.
Oh, she's the sister of
Desaad.
Desaad.
She's been.
She looks like an old lady.
Yeah, she's mentioned here, and I can't find her name.
What's I can't remember her
Starts with a
name.
B for sure.
Yeah.
I can't find it. But anyhow, so they so suddenly so the battle's over. They realize, oh, here it is, Bernadeth.
Yeah.
Like burn to death.
Yeah, burned to
Bernadeth.
death.
Yeah, she's an old woman. So they, after Lashina disappeared, they all of a sudden start looking around and like, wait a minute, where's my mother box? Like he just took off. He didn't return it to me. And yeah, sure enough, Funky's back at his mansion, and he's holding onto this mother box, and it's going ping, 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 ping. Now, little does Funky know that this is how that those in Apocalypse are tracking Scott and finding out where he is. So he's like, "This is," and so Funky's not impressed. He's like, "This is what is this? A musical sardine can? Like this is quite a weird thing. Like I don't need that one." And he says "I definitely you don't need to listen." He's talking to his butler. "You don't need to listen to this." He's like, I'll let you listen to the voice of Funky Flashman. Its dulcet tones are way better than this mother box." And so he just throws it over onto the ground, and sure enough, who appear but all four of the Furies. We've got Mad Harriet, Stompa, Lashina, and Bernadeth. So they Funky's not even looking. He's listening to his own voice on one of those reel to reel recorders. Okay, so he's recorded himself in the past, and he's just listening to his beautiful voice. The butler's trying to get his attention because all the Furies are starting to encircle them. And so finally he turns around and notices all of them. So Funky definitely, always looking out for number one. He grabs the butler by his suit coat and back of the pants, and basically gives him the heave ho right towards the ladies. And Funky jumps out the window. And the whole place starts to explode, and he turns around and he's like, "Oh, everything's up in flames." He's like, "Oh, it does look pretty though. Passion red flame against undulating black smoke." And then he says, "A marvel of contrast." So I'm assuming that verbiage was intentional, but his beard and mustache are half off, his toupee is gone. And he turns around. He's like, "Oh, well." He's like, "I got to cut away from scot-free. I love the lad, but I hate his friends." on to new conquests, and he just turns around and starts walking down the road, straightening his tie and walking away. Scott and Barda come back to the mansion, of course, because they're looking for his mother box. They manage to end up saving the butler's life, and they grab his mother box, although the house is definitely a ruin. And so they say that him and Barda say that's enough of this. He's like, we can't just keep waiting for them to come after us one after the other. And Barda's like, well, I'm a soldier, so you've got, I definitely have your back. It's like, we're going, and Scott says, we're going back to win it their way in trial by combat. So it sounds like they're going back to Apocalypse next issue. And then there's just a 2-page, very quick little thing about young Scott Free when he was still at the orphanage with Granny Goodness. And or in the last issue that started, and Metron had come and kind of like talking to him about how he needs to not fit in with the rest of the group and to keep his own mind. And they're fed these energy blocks, and apparently it dulls their sense of will and so forth. And so Scott's just about to eat his, and he hears the voice of Metron again, and Metron's there in his chair saying, don't eat that, it's saturated with a brain drain chemical, you must have a clear mind. And he says, who owns your mind? Who is Scott Free? And Scott gets mad and says, shut up, shut up, shut up. And everyone starts talking about him, saying, there he goes, shouting at the empty air again. So something's going on there that they're telling in the background with how Scott is, is basically being saved from being just another pawn in Darkseid's game by Metron, and probably how he ends up escaping with Barda's help. So yeah, this is, Mike, I'm having a lot of fun reading this series. So I've read
Yeah.
these 6 issues so far.
I've read it in two different ways. I've read Mr. Miracle by itself, like you're reading it now. And I've read it by publishing schedule, like Fourth World,
Oh, you have?
which is an
Okay.
interesting read because it's like you'll go from Jimmy Olsen to Mr. Miracle to Forever People to New Gods in the order that they were published.
Yeah, how
So
is that? Is it,
that's
do
it's
they
worth
have a lot to
it's
do with each
worth
other or no?
yeah, they kind of do, but more from like this global vision that Kirby was creating. But like they stand alone, in terms of story.
Yeah, I was wondering, 'cause like the first 6 issues, no, I mean, it's no problem at all.
Yeah.
It's its own story for sure. But I was wondering if it was, if it was any different, as it went along.
Yeah. Cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
A lot of fun, yeah.
It's cool to they let him do what he wanted when he went to
Oh, yeah.
DC, and so he was that you get like he's his own editor for
He
the
is,
most
and with
part.
all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the
Well,
writer,
even when he
editor,
was
and
doing, I think when he was doing Cap too, it was like that.
yeah, they had Marv Wolfman saying consulting editor.
Yeah.
I don't know, how much
I think they pretty much let him do.
it seemed that way, yeah.
Yeah. So my next book, I was listening to Rob Servations, and he started talking about what if he started talking about like when he went from Hawk and Dove to Marvel, and he really was Todd McFarlane says you need to pick a book. Like you can't just be hopping. He was going from like annual to annual and doing some what ifs and some Spider-Man annuals, and McFarlane's like you're like a jackrabbit, he'd say. You're like you're jumping around all over the place. He says you need to pick something. And that's how he picked New Mutants, but this is the time when he was sort of jumping around, and he did share a studio with Valentino. And Valentino, this is right before he did that long run of Guardians of the Galaxy. He was doing what if stories, and he's got like a smattering of maybe 12 books in this run. And one of them is What If Wolverine Was an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's issue 7, and this is volume 2. And the cover is by Liefeld, and it's inked by Scott Williams, and it has some really good splash. If you open it up, it's got an ad for Nintendo, and it has Jordan versus Bird. And I remember having Dr. J versus Bird on the computer, and I would play that a lot. But I guess the next one was Jordan versus Bird. Seems like Larry Bird was in a lot of the. I think they had a Magic versus Bird too. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
But
they did too.
he was like the commonality. This is a great splash page. So the break. Jim Valentino did the script and the layout. So he did like the breakdowns. And then Rob Liefeld did the pencils. And it says slash inspiration. So maybe it was the inspiration for the story. And Scott Williams did the inks. Really awesome splash page of Hulk fighting Wolverine and Wendigo. Really nicely done. I really like that splash. That's how it opens up. It kind of catches you up to speed. You know, the Watcher is saying, "Well, this battle took place, and Wolverine ended up going with Professor Xavier, but this is like, what if S.H.I.E.L.D. got to him first?" And convinced Alpha Flight or the Canadian government to, you know, let him go off and work for S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's kind of what they do in this issue, is they're having problems with their life model decoys, the LMDs, and Hydra is sort of taken out, like stolen the technology, and not only stolen the technology, but infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. with the technology. And they want Wolverine because he could go in there and he could smell it. Like, he'd know it right off the bat. So they're on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, which looks really like a blimp in this, like a technological blimp. A really interesting screenshot of it because it's taking it from the bottom of it. But he's walking with Nick Fury, and Nick Fury's like, "We want you to do this." And he's like, "What the hell's an LMD?" And he goes, "They're life model decoys, and they look just like us." And that one of the interesting things is they draw Black Widow with her original costume with the long hair. And later on in the issue, she's in that gray costume, like when she was an Avenger, and with the short red hair. There's like a weird comment in here that says like Wolverine cut her hair or something like that. I don't know. But Dugan's looking pretty fat. He looks like me, with a belt on and the belly hanging over the belt.
Oh, he
And
looks like me too, then.
yeah, he's he's coming in, and he's introducing him to Black Widow and Dugan, and what does Wolverine do immediately? He like pops his claws and rips Dugan to pieces, and he's like, "That's an LMD. That's
Because
not
he can smell
human."
it.
He tore him up, and he says, "Now you know the point." Black Widow's got this expression of horror, like they kill Dum Dum, but you see all these mechanical parts coming out of him. So they're like, "Okay, you guys are gonna go around the entire helicarrier, which is huge. It'll probably take. I think it took him 48 hours to clean this mess." But him and Black Widow found all kinds of life model decoys that were working for Hydra, and they clean them up. So they clean them up, and then they infiltrate the Hydra base where Madam what's her name? Madam Hydra? Isn't it Viper? She's there. And Black Widow's in her new costume at this point when they do infiltrate them. And there's a lot of action in this. Like, if you listen to a Rob Liefeld, Rob Servations, he talks about his books being macho. And what he means by that is there's not a lot of like downtime. There's more action shots than there are like let's develop this plot. It's like a macho book. So this one is pretty macho. They're fighting a lot. I mean, sure, Fury's like got his guns blazing. He's blasting everybody. Wolverine's tearing him apart with his claws. Black Widow's using her venom blasts and also ripping him apart. And Baron Stucker's there, and he's got the real Dugan like chained to a wall. And Wolverine pops his claws and goes after Baron and starts tearing him apart. And then it becomes a fight where Nick Fury's like, "This is my villain. Step aside, Wolverine. Let me fight him." And it looks like Strucker is really kicking Nick Fury's ass until he hits a wall and electrocutes himself. And they destroy him, but it looks like he might be a life model decoy. Like the real Baron is off somewhere else. And then there's just a scene like, okay, at this point, Wolverine's become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., official agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he's there with Cap and destroying MODOK and all kinds of agents. And they have where Professor Xavier and Nightclaw go visit him and said, "Hey, you're a mutant. Would you come along and be with your people and help us?" And he's no lie. I got a job to do. And then later on, Nick Fury's in his floating car, his flying car, and the Baron comes and crash. Baron's dead at this time, so he did kill the real Baron, because I forgot the Baron had like this claw that he wore, and that's why it looked like cybernetics were underneath it, because he ripped that claw off and he punched the wall and electrocuted himself. Well, now the life model decoy attacks Nick while he's on his car and crashes it and kills Nick Fury. So they ask Dugan to be in charge of everything, and he refuses. So now Wolverine's in charge. He's like the head honcho of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's how it ends. And then there's a short story, a really funny one called "What If Aunt May Was a Mutant with Claws?" This is by John Rosum, and I know John Rosum from Milestone, Zombie, and he did a couple other Milestone books, but he did this one pager where Peter and MJ are eating and they're feeling stuffed, and they're going off to like a dinner, a show, like a show after after dinner, and they kiss Aunt May goodbye, and she says, "But I made this dessert. You're gonna eat it while it's still warm." And they said, "No, we gotta go." And she pops the claws and says, "No, you're gonna eat the dessert." So they sit down and they're late to their date. And then there's two little panels. They're like, "What if Captain America hadn't been thawed out?" And it just shows a bunch of Eskimos charging for photos with frozen Captain America for $2. And the next one is, "What if Punisher didn't use guns?" And he has a guy in the corner with a dunce cap. He has a guy writing on the wall, "I will not make bombs. I will not make bombs." And then he has one guy with he's spanking him, and he has him over his lap and he's spanking him, and he says, "And no TV for a week." So that's what Punisher would be doing if he had no guns.
Oh my.
Yeah. And I didn't have time to read the letters pages, but I always do, so I'll probably do that after
That's
this.
fantastic.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
That's amazing. Well, I don't have anything
Valentino,
else today.
Valentino is a really good artist on his own. Like,
He is.
yeah. He drew a heck of Aunt May and Mary Jane and Peter. The only thing, other thing I want to mention is I'm into dead universes, so I bought a lot of Blackout comics, and they didn't last very long. They almost lasted about a year,
I
and
don't know what that is.
they were like a Bad Girl publisher. So I,
Blackout?
yeah, Blackout. So I read a comic called Miss Cyanide and Ice, and this one was pretty good. And it even has a special bonus. It says first blowout appearance of Sly and Furious. But that nut comic never came out. So they didn't make it very long. There were only like one issue and then done. Or 2 issues if you're lucky. The next comic I read, this one was cool though because it's about a detective that comes home to his little girl and boy. And his son's playing video games, and he's like, "I'm sorry, I'm not here for you guys." And he has his older son babysit the younger one. And he go, the kid's while he's playing a video game, he says, "Hey, Dad, what's this icon tombstone?" And he's like, "Oh God, don't touch that tombstone!" And it blows up. It blows up his son while he's playing video games. But he lost his son, so now he's angry, and he's got still got the daughter. It looks like he's like. There's no mother in the picture. It's like a cop raising a boy and a girl, and now the boy's dead. So he goes to Cyanide and Ice and says, "I need you to take down this guy who did that." And he might even link to the death of your fiance, which was one of, Cyanide's fiance. So they kind of take the job. They fight like a cybernetic pet bull, like this mutated pet bull. It looks huge. It looks like about the size of four of them. And they take that dog down, and then they go inside, and the bomb blows up, and they capture the guy that they're going to capture. But he's not. He gives the one girl cyanide. He says, "Hey, I know who killed your fiance," and he gives her information. So she just takes off and leaves him there. And that's it says to be continued, and we'll never know the end of it. And then there's a weird one called Lady Vampry. That's a Blackout comic. This had a 0 and 1, and I read issue 1. And I don't know if this is continued either, but it's sort of a vampire that's pretending not to be a vampire and hunting other vampires. So she starts off with one guy who doesn't think she's already a vampire, and he's like, "Well, I'll give you the gift of eternity. And just tell me if you want me to do it." And he throws her off a building, and he's like, she's falling to her death, and she says, "Okay, I want to be immortal," because she's gonna die anyway. And then he goes and captures her and chains her up, and he says, "Well, I'm gonna give you eternal life." And then she shows her fangs, and she's not really a human. She's already a vampire, and she's after this other vampire who created her. And that's kind of how it ends, is she finds the castle, goes after this vampire, and it kind of ends in a cliffhanger where she teams up with the detective. They go to this guy's house and or castle, and they try to take him out, but they're unsuccessful. So it says to be continued, and I guess we'll never figure out. Actually, she does find her fiance, and he's a vampire, but he's in an old folks home, and he chose not to drink blood. So I guess if you choose not to drink blood and you're a vampire, you just grow old and die.
You die.
So she's like in her 20s, and he's like an old man with a beard that looks like he's like 90. And he does perish because he jumps in front of the stake that the vampire throws at her heart and saves her life, and now she's seeking vengeance against the lead vampire, but I don't know where it's continued or if it's continued. And there's a lot of ads, like there's this one called The Death of Lady Vampire, but I don't know if it exists, but it's got a Mike Mignola cover,
It's in
so
stock.
oh, is it?
Yeah, my comic shop. The Death
Maybe.
of Lady Vamprey or whatever you say.
Lady, I didn't see it. Maybe it's because I all of them start with lady and I didn't look at death of.
Yeah.
So I
Looks
need
like
to.
Harry Carey was a very popular character for Black
Oh,
Ops.
I bought all the Harry Carey stuff too.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. So, what was that book called?
Death of Lady
Death of
Vampire.
Lady. That's what I have to add to my cart. Maybe that's where it's continued. And it's supposed to have a Magnolia cover. So I'm working on completing this universe that doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting. It tried to get a hold in the bad girl realm with Lady Death and
Yeah.
Vampirella and all the bad girls of that era.
Yeah, that outbreed lasted 6 issues. That's a record, I think.
Yeah, Outbreed 666.
Yeah.
Those are never in stock. I've had that in my cart forever.
One through five are in stock right now, Mike.
Really?
Yep, get them in there. The only one they
Because
don't have is number six.
I do have Outbreed 666, but maybe it's the Harris version.
Oh, this is Outbreed 999, it says.
I have
It says
Outbreed.
999.
I think there's an Outbreed 666. Let me
It might have
see.
gotten some more stuff in stock since you had your order.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different book entirely.
I searched for just that publisher and it brought everything up.
Outbreed. Anyway, I gotta look for it, but I think there's an Outbreed 666. Or there's something 666. And that's different from the one that's in this publisher. I don't have any of this one.
Very interesting.
Outbreed 999. So I
Yeah.
gotta add those to my cart. Yeah, this one had some life to it.
Yeah.
I don't even think six ever came out. Sometimes you'll see a six and there's no six.
That could be it was also significantly earlier on than some of those other ones. There's a lot that came out in like 97. This one was 94, so maybe that accounts for them getting out more of the issues.
Yeah, I'll definitely add those to my cart because I didn't have them on there. And the death of. I
Yeah.
added the other ones because she's got a few minis.
To your point, the database for Outbreed 999 only goes up to five comic
Yeah.
dates, which, like you said, could mean that
Never
six just
published, or
never came out. Yeah.
sometimes I found out they're published, but they like left the company and the writer just put it out on his own or something like
Oh.
that. There's
Yeah, I mean maybe,
weird
but
cases
there's no
like that.
image available even on my comic shop, so it's,
Yeah.
I don't know if it ever came out or not.
The artwork is pretty nice, very of the time. But that's the kind of time I like, so a lot of big splash panels, a lot of zoom in shots and two-page spreads. Very
Yeah, that's interesting.
90s, yeah. I'll probably read it one at least one Harry Carey to see if I like that. She looks like shy, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. Yeah, it's sometimes it depresses me to read some of those because if I really end up liking it, then I get upset that there's no more to read, that they're just that was
Yeah, it's kind of
it.
like watching a Netflix show that they don't renew, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh well. But I like them from a historical perspective to see, because they have a lot of like ads for other comic books, but they're supposed to be in Extremes of Violent. I don't know if I found that one. Paws and Slammy. Miss Cyanide and Ice, but there's that only one comic.
Yeah.
I like the Cyanide and Ice. Like I love those like bad girl vengeance stories.
Yeah.
And kind of like Quentin Tarantino did with Kill Bill and stuff, you know.
Yep.
I like that kind of stuff, and
Yeah.
that's what that cyanide and ice was.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I got them mixed up. I kept on saying cyanide's the one with the fiance. It's ice, but
Yeah,
cyanide's wearing the green, and ice is the blue.
for some reason that one's not showing up on my comic shop as a blackout comic.
Cyanide and ice? It's Miss Cyanide and Ice. Did you write that? MS Cyan.
I just did a search for a blackout. It's just not showing up. I bet you if I type in the actual comic, it will come up. But
It says blackout
yeah, that's
if you
weird.
type it.
How do you spell cyanide? Is it the normal way?
And I Cyanide. Did you find it? There's two issues. There's a zero and a one. I gotta find the
Matching.
issue. I wanted to order zero, but I guess I didn't. And they have it in stock now, so I could get zero.
Yeah.
There's another publisher that does a comic called Jazz, and I'm trying to complete that one, but man, they have none of those in stock. From High Impact Comics.
Yeah.
Those, I have them all in my cart and I never ever see them. So I have like Forgive Me Father and Jazz, but I can't find any China and Jazz.
I found Miss Cyanide. They have it in the search engine. Blackout is one word for that title, but two words blackout for a lot of the other ones that I
Oh
was
yeah.
bringing up. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't notice they were different.
So even though they should all be under one, they're not all coming under the same thing.
Right on. You watched a movie though. It didn't seem like you liked it that
There
much. It
was
was a 5
no, I
out of
didn't.
10.
It was I didn't dislike it, but I didn't love it either. It was just it was fine. It was a little slow.
Yeah.
Not a lot happened, so.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, we can wrap this episode up. I'm gonna go.
Before I go, Allie wanted to she's not here. She just wanted me to say hi to you from her. So
Oh,
Allie says
hi.
hi. Yeah.
She wanted to say it, but I didn't let you get a word in, so she couldn't
No, don't.
say it.
She came over and she said, "Tell Mike I said hi." And then
Oh,
she,
how nice.
yeah.
All
There you
righty.
go.
Well, you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on Twitter. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can find us at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in between. Click the like button. And our website is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you've been listening to Geek Brunch Retro. Hopefully next time Chris will be joining us.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm sure he loved those gimmick covers.
He seems to be a yeah, he would definitely fall into those gimmicks, I think.
Well, I think he got into the X-Men and stuff when the gimmicks were prominent.
He might have. He
Yeah.
was a young lad back then, a
Yeah.
young impressionable person.
He's the youngest of the three of us.
Yeah, significantly, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not 20 or
What
anything,
do
but
I
I think
have
he's.
on you? 4 years or
No, I
five?
think it's. What?
Three?
Yeah, you do not. Maybe two? How
Well,
old
I'm
are you?
52.
Okay, so in one less than one in 2 weeks, I'll be 50.
Okay, so that's about 3 years.
Yeah, two and a half, 3 years. So, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, 'cause I'll turn 53 soon. Not soon, but in another 7 months or so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have a good one, and thanks for playing on this Sunday.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Have a good rest of your day. I'm assuming you're going to watch some
We
football.
always talk about how to solve the storage of comics, and we never come up with a solution.
No, we don't. I have solutions. They're not practical.
Never a solution that's satisfying. How about
No.
that?
My solution is to buy a bigger house. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All
A
right. Have a
warehouse.
good weekend.
All right, see ya. Bye.
Bye.